Hey, this is Lucky. The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please visit professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. If you're looking to get some sweet merch from Beards, Ears, and Skulls, Grim Podcast, Perilous Adventure, Arachne, and Infinity Podcast, or a whole lot more, you can check out streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1/merch. Also, don't go to Built Bar anymore. They're not a sponsor and they're dead to us. So head over to monumenthobbies.com and use code professionalcasual at checkout for 5% off every single order you possibly, you know, like order for like paints and board games and stuff. Right? Thanks.
Electric Casuals, and I get Stan every time.
You interrupted yourself as you were doing it.
Welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls, the best old world podcast.
Where's the right page?
I hit the wrong tab. I went to our messenger chat. This is the best old world podcast on the internet, just in case y'all didn't know. My name's Taylor. I'm your personal grudge bearer. And that's Dan.
I'm back.
He's here still.
I haven't been missing for a long time, so hi.
It's really strange. Yeah, the other Dan that we had that was here was actually not Dan. It was Dan-ish.
What?
He was Danish. You were a cheese Dane. Anyways, so...
I love cheese Danishes.
Dude, right? They're so good. But hey, before we get into our cheese Danishes, I want to send a huge dowry thank you to our beautiful and wonderful patrons who support us over on patreon.com/professionalcasual. These folks help us do what we do every day, keep the lights on, and keep Tim from eating the old good frenzy and poison rules.
Oh, wait. No. Too late. Oh, you're going to get me upset about frenzy already?
Too late. You already ate him. huge special thank to our top patrons. Axpax's Rob, Iron Maze, Tao, Dagnan, Bicon, Briar Mage, Cider Drinker, Kilted Sparky, Kwaku, Random Guy, Cliff Jumper, Velisendo, Speaks with Wind, Pagan Prince, David, Hans and Manthi, Brooke, oh, son of a gun, I was doing so well. Hans, Andy, Brooks, and Cord. Wow, I went through that so quick. I'm so proud of myself. I didn't even practice at all.
What? You're talking so fast today?
And then for our electric casual tier, hey, if you want to show your support for this show in particular, you can head over to patreon.com/professionalcasualnetwork. Yes? No,
professional casual.
I'm so lost. And you can sign up for the electric casuals tiers, where you would be joining Tony M. Meerkat, Stefan Rev Wright, Matt Cliff, Elite Eight Showdown was canceled, Anthony Manuel, the Neil Harris, Lil Willie, Carlos, and Nick Barron. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Do the things that we do. Dan, hobbied today.
You did?
I did.
What did you did?
I took all of those Chocobo Knights and I spray painted most of them.
Nice.
Yeah. So most of them are primed. I'm going to take half of the Chocobo Knights and prime them yellow because Brooks was nice enough to give me some yellow primer as well.
Nice.
I feel like when you think Chocobo, you think yellow.
Yeah. Right?
Like obviously like there are other colors.
Would be on the colored Chocobos.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So, like, I think I hate to say that you're going to be excited about this one, but I think like the Pegasus Duke, I'm going to put on a Pegasus.
I don't know.
Right, Royal Pegasus. Anyways, the one that everybody takes, I'm going to put on a blue chocobo because I just feel like that's fitting.
Yeah.
Right. And then I don't know the Enchantress or whatever the heck they're called. I'm going to put them on purple ones, and you know we'll stylize from there. But
very cool.
Right.
I love chocobos.
Knights of the Realm and. Your basics are going to be yellow.
Knights of the Round? Terrifying.
Knights of the Round Table. We dance whenever able.
It was a Final Fantasy VII reference that you don't get because...
I don't get it at all. What I do need is heraldry for knights. I do need that. In Final Fantasy.
Oh, you know what we should use?
Huh?
Is look up the logos for each of the different Final Fantasy games and use that as your heraldry. Like, 7 is the meteor and it's like green and blue. That could be the heraldry for one thing.
Oh, that's a dope idea.
Right? I had that quick, too.
That was a really good idea. Nice job, Dan.
9 is the crystal, and it's like red and yellow.
It is. Huh.
Some are better than others. Like, 16s is gigantic, and it's just Ifrit fighting Phoenix. But there's, like, the logo's so huge. You probably want to go with something a bit simpler.
Huh. Well, this is a fantastic idea. I'm so glad I talked to you about this.
Good idea, Justine.
Thanks, Justine. Thanks, Lindsay.
I don't remember 15, so I got to look that one up.
Well, it's a Final Fantasy game, so it doesn't matter. Anyways.
Wow. All right. I don't even know what I played that game. I don't even know what the.
It's just white text. Supposed
to be. It's like a dude.
It's like a dude. But yeah, I got a whole bunch of birds that are primed now. So that's
oh no,
good.
It's a lady.
Dude looks like a lady.
Dude looks like a lady. You got a bunch of birds that are primed white. Some that are be yellow soon. Good. Also I'm glad you got some hobbied, because my hobbies lately have been printing stuff for you and my brother Timmy for Dwarf.
Yeah, thanks.
Any carts? Still, just I have not. I haven't even taken my paint tray off the shelf in like 2 weeks. I just have not been able to. Hopefully now that I'm on summer vacation, I should be able to. Like tomorrow, I hope to get some paint on things. I've got a weird, maybe not weird, but I feel actually motivated to paint Skaven again. I haven't painted them in almost a year.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, with the new changes to stuff, that they might actually do anything.
I think Skaven are going to get a big boost from this FAQ. Yeah. But like you said, we did play a game the other day, and I figured this would be a great way to talk about the FAQ because it dropped like the day before we had already like scheduled a game, and it was like, sweet, let's try out this new stuff. Yeah, and we got to try absolutely. It a fair bit.
Yeah, I took the dwarves out for a run. It's the first time since I think we had that like big playing thing, the first one at Bearded Dragon, where Dr. D drove 37 hours and Brooks drove 4 from the same place. I think that was the last time I had dwarves on the table.
It's literally what happened, yeah.
I think. Yeah, I did. But anyways, so I took the Darfies out for another spin.
It was nice to see them again.
Yeah, it was fun. They made me feel good instead of how they've usually been making me feel bad in this game.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. So that's a good thing. And Dan got to play, drum roll.
New his Beastman. It was great. I played the Wild Herd. And it was really fun. It was actually really hilarious. The day the FAQ came out, I was like, you know what? I'm going to tone my list down a little bit. So it's not like quote tournament level against Taylor for this, because the Beastmen are in a very good spot. So I took out my Dragon Ogres and like a Razor Gore and put in like 16 Bestigor. And then the FAQ dropped later that day and it was like, oh, Bestigor are like usable now. This is great.
Huh?
So why don't we jump right to why did we both feel pretty good about infantry again? And like, I didn't feel like I was actually handicapping myself by taking Bestigor.
Yeah. So it turns out infantry are good now. better. They're better.
They're
way better. Yep. So they changed things to the fighting ranks with supporting attacks as well. And then they change a couple other things, like Impetuous isn't nearly as detrimental. What was the other thing I was thinking of?
Unit strength.
Thank you. Jeepers. Close order and all that sort of stuff. Yep. So supporting attacks is the entry for support models whose weapons allow them to make supporting attacks. You do so if they're in the rank or file directly behind the fighting rank of their unit and within a number of inches equal to their movement of the enemy unit. However, supporting attacks cannot be made in the flank or rear, etc. right?
Yeah. So this is one that was in like the like leaked rules that a lot of people were like, no, these aren't real. And then I'm pretty sure they were all correct. With the whole movement thing was like, we've never looked at a movement value while in combat before. There's no way they're doing this. And it's like, oh, they did. And this effectively like, maybe not kills, but essentially kills Linehammer, which I never saw in the wild anyway. But I know some people say it ruins their local meta when people have these units that are 20 models wide so they can all get a supporting attack. But now it's like, well, if you're 20 dwarves wide, you're attacking with maybe half of them.
Right. Exactly.
Within your movement value. So like, obviously things like knights, you could still attack super wide, but kind of foolish in the long run, which is nice. I like this change.
So it's actually the press of battle, which is the infantry rule change, that makes it so your fighting rank is two ranks deep.
Yeah, unless you charged or followed up.
Yep, except during a turn in which they charged, the fighting rank of a unit that has this rule and is arrayed in combat order is not one but two ranks deep, which is cool. Super duper cool. They're just considered to be in its fighting rank.
Wait, I thought there was something about if they charged, they didn't get it.
Except during a turn in which it charged.
Nice.
Yeah, so if you charged, then you don't have two fighting ranks, you just have one. Right, which is super cool. They also change, so massed infantry numbers alone can sometimes overcome the foe when determining combat results if one side has a higher unit strength than the other and includes one or more units with this rule. And these are infantry rules, by the way. These are regular infantry rules. They get plus one combat result, which is dope. Parry. If you have a hand weapon and shield, you improve your armor value by one.
Huge.
To a max of three up. Yeah, massive. Oh, it came up so many times.
Yeah, this is nice. A lot of people were shocked that parry wasn't in the game in the beginning, but it's back now, and it's just how we want it. It's not that ridiculous, oh, you get a 6-up ward save nonsense. Yeah. It just makes you better at defending, which makes sense.
Yep. Which, when you're playing sword and board dwarves, is really, really nice. Because when your royal clan warriors in Gromrel armor have a 3-up rerolling ones, it's really great.
Yeah. Yeah. Having your heavy, and not necessarily heavy infantry, but your tanky infantry actually having a decent armor save is nice. And that one difference is huge. I mean, when you're rolling D6s and you're improving it by a sixth, that's a big deal.
It's a huge deal, especially when you're like dwarves and you have something that lets you reroll ones. Saurus as well. Do they allow you to reroll ones? I can't remember.
Not for their saves. No, they have obsidian weapons. They don't have an armor rule.
Gotcha.
But Saurus got a huge boost here where like all my Saurus are built with spears and I kind of want to take the spears off and put hand weapons on because they can get a 3-up save as well. They've got heavy armor from their scaly skin and then a shield and then parry. 3-up. Boom. Nice. Now they're real tanky. It also allows your light armor and shield units to potentially get an armor save against even something like a great weapon. Now they can get a 6-up instead of nothing, which will be nice for like, you know, if my high elves charge and they can't use their spears anyway, they might as well go sword and board now. Yeah. Also, they change that. I can then next round of combat, if it's still going on, they can then switch to the spears. You can change every round of combat now, which is awesome.
So that's massive. And I was going to do that with the hammerers if you charged me. Right, because the hammerers are heavy armor. I gave them shields, so they could do hand weapon and shield for a 3-up. Hammerers also in the FAQ got Grommer armor, so they're rerolling ones. And then on the next round of combat, I can actually use the damn hammers after I take the charge. Like,
yeah, that's really good.
It's so cool. It's so cool.
And they have what, initiative 3 already, and then they get plus 1 when they get charged. So like And they're strength 4, right? So not going with the great hammers right away isn't terrible.
Well, the reason is when you charge me, usually you charge me with something that's trying to break them in the first round.
Yeah.
But they have shield wall.
Oh, right. Because that's been a thing forever. You're like, why would I ever fight with the shields? Now there's a reason to.
Now there's a reason to. Yep. Because I can just drop the shield and use the hammer in the next turn.
That I think this is a huge like quality of life upgrade. Just that one change, because like, why wouldn't you be able to change out your weapon? You could drop your sword and pull out a spear very quickly. These are supposed to be trained troops almost everywhere.
Now there are some people who are pretty upset with it, who are like, well, if you drop the shield and the hand weapon, and you start using the hammer, and then like the round after that, you decide you want to use the hand weapon and shield again, like, what, are you just going to pick it up off the ground? And I'm like, I don't know. Use your imagination. They're trained enough to sling it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they're not necessarily, like I said, drop it just as like,
right.
Not literally dropping it on the ground. Cause that would be kind of hard to get back, but like it's all abstract anyway.
Right.
But I think that's a huge improvement. More choice is better, I think, pretty much always. But yeah, so we took a fair bit of infantry. So real quick, I'll go over my list in a nutshell. Help, help, I'm stuck in a nutshell.
Thank you.
So I tried the Wild Herd, which was pretty cool. Almost exclusively because I wanted to field a unit of mixed gore and ungore again. To really go back to, you know, really have nostalgia on the table and field an army like what I started with way back in the day. So I took a Beast Lord. I gave him the new Scimitar of Skulltar so he can do multiple wounds. He had full plate chaos armor because obviously it's so good.
Yeah.
And a shield. And then he had the Horn of the Great Hunt, I think it's called. The one that allows me to add plus one or minus one once per turn to an ambush roll. Then I had a level four Bray Shaman. I took out the Hag Tree Fetish to be nice to Taylor. And he took the new Primal Lore and was pretty cool. What else did I give him? He also had full plate Chaos Armor because, again, why not?
Oh my gosh, it was obnoxious.
It was. You never even attacked him.
No, no. The amount of chaos armor that you had was obnoxious.
Yeah, fair. I don't remember what else he had. Where's my phone? I'll figure it out. And then I had a Warhoof, the Centaur character, because I wanted to use a unit of Centaur and core. So I had a unit of 9 Centaur with cavalry spears in full command. And that was it. They had a banner on him before, but I remember I took that off of there. And I had a unit of 9 because I only have 10 Centaur models, and I haven't gotten my Goros Warhoof in yet.
Sure.
And I ordered it with that elf on a unicorn that was made to order, so who knows? And I said, ship them together. I don't want to pay double shipping, so who knows when it's going to show up. Oh, I gave the Great Bray Shaman the Dark Heart, which is the one that lets me dispel better.
Okay.
No. That's something else. This is the one I can eat it once a game, and I get a wound back. And then he had the Cacophonous Dirge, and units within 18 inches of him didn't get to use their musicians. I took that 100% just to troll Taylor. So and then the Warhoof also had full plate chaos armor and a great weapon and shield, and he had Ambusher along with the Centaur. So they were going to ambush. So it was like turn two, they had a 3-up rerollable ambush because they're my only Ambusher unit. So it was like pretty good chance of them showing up. And then I had a Primal War Herd with 16 gore and 10 ungore with the Vitriolic Totem in full command. So they had poisoned attacks, which kind of worked out because we got to try out the new poison attack rule. Also, 6 is no longer auto wound. They now give you plus 2 to the wound roll, which wasn't terrible.
No, it came up and it was important.
And then I had an 11 gore unit just because I had a little extra points. I threw one more guy in there and they just had a champion with a great weapon. Then 2 Tuskor Chariots, 1 single Razor Gore Piggy, the Herdstone, of course, got to try out the new Herdstone, which was awesome. And then 16 Bestigor, full command with the Banner of Outrage, so they could reroll their test for Primal Fury, which I realized as we were playing, it would have been cheaper just to give the unit veteran for 1 point a model to just reroll every leadership test.
Yep.
Because the standard's 25 points. So, like, it's really only worth it if the unit's more than 25, but that would be a crazy expensive unit of Bestigor. So lesson learned. Save a couple points. Don't take that banner. Give them veteran instead. And then a Shaggoth, because I got to have a Shaggoth with a great weapon and heavy chaos armor, because luckily Brooks had mentioned to me that full plate doesn't matter on him because as a monster he can't get better than a 3-up save anyway.
Oh yeah, nice. So
full plate with the armored hide 2,
yep,
still goes to a 3-up. So I'll save 10 points to give him heavy armor. It's essentially 30 points for a 5-up ward save. 100% worth it, I think.
Absolutely.
On a big old monster. So I was really excited to try this out. You know, almost all infantry, couple chariots, monster and a pig who was great. I love the pig.
Hate that thing.
Next time I got to put 4 on the table again because I have that many. Thanks, Anthony.
No. One was bad enough.
Oh, they're so good. What do you got for your Darfies on the other side there?
Oh, I don't know. I just closed it.
Yeah, we're looking at our pictures we took during the game because, of course, this was a couple days ago.
I had three characters, three units, and two carts.
Yeah, it was not a big points. Army.
No, it was not. So we had an Anvil of Doom, which I'm so mad at myself right now. I just now realized today, Anvil of Doom always has a 5-up ward save. Completely forgot about that.
Did you not?
I didn't roll a single ward save for it.
Oh, no.
Yep. Big dumb idiot over here. It had a Master Rune of Balance and two runes of spell breaking. I also forgot about the Master Rune of Balance, which allows me to roll an extra d6 and discard the lowest. Whoops.
For casting?
For dispelling.
Oh, well. Yeah. Okay.
It would have come up a couple times.
Probably, yeah.
And then I'm playing Royal Clan, right? So I got a Shieldbearer Lord who gets 150 points of runes
because he's Royal Clan.
Right? So Shieldbearer, great weapon, full plate, all that sort of nonsense. And I was like, you know what? He gets 150 points. Let's test it out. So yeah. I gave him a Master Rune of Adamant, which gives him toughness 10.
Ugh.
And he's got 6 wounds. You know. So I was like, well, what am I gonna do with this great weapon? Well, I'll just give him 2 runes of fury. So now he's got 6 attacks at strength 6. He was a menace.
Yeah,
absolute menace.
He was huge.
No, he's very, very short.
He's a big dude.
2 units of clan warriors, 25 with sword and board. Master Rune of Hesitation, which is when you charge me, you don't count as having charged me for weapons. I hate
that rune so much.
It's so good.
It's the worst. It's so bad good. To go again. It's so good, but I hate it.
And it's not even like in the flank or anything. It's just you charge me. No. No, you did not.
Well, you're just in combat now. This is not a charge.
No get impact wrecked. Hits, no strength bonuses, no initiative bonuses, nothing. And I gave them veteran.
Nice.
Which I forgot about because they shouldn't. No, I didn't.
Oh, I was going to say, how many things did you pay for and forget about?
Oh, dude, all the time. Every freaking game. If I could remember how to play this game, I would win more games.
Right?
And then I took 20 warriors, clan warriors with the Grommel Great Axes, which are just awesome. It's a great axe with AP3. It's a great weapon with AP3. It's just so great. They were stubborn. But
the Longbeards had that too?
What do you mean? I don't know. So one unit was the sword and board. The other unit was the Great Axes. No Longbeards.
Oh, that's right. Oh, because the Royal Clan gets access to the Grommel Great Axe?
Yes.
Oh, that's
which is different from the Hammerers, which is the Great Hammer.
Yeah, which is the same thing. No, because they don't have Strikes Last on their hammer.
Correct, and their Armor Bane 2 instead of Armor Bane 1.
Nice.
Yeah, so it could be a -4. So I did have a unit of 21 Hammerers that didn't do anything the whole game.
Yeah.
The entire game, because I'm an idiot.
Spoiler alert, they got baited around. It was awesome.
Yeah, I fell for that bait so hard. It was so dumb.
I was a little surprised, but I was so happy dumb. That those hammers didn't do anything except not give me points.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, wait, you got one other guy there.
413 points out of it. 2 dwarf carts, bugman carts, and a 200 point doomseeker because they're the best.
That dude was 200 points.
He sure was.
What? Like, he hurt, but I didn't realize he was that much that I didn't get for killing him. Dumb.
Mm-hmm. So he was rocking the Master Rune of Alaric the Mad and a Rune of Speed, which I forgot about, which gives him +1 initiative.
Speed!
And then Rune of the Dishonored, obviously. Rune of the Reckless, so he gets +1 to hit. However, it's also +1 to hit him, because it's funny.
Yeah, that was nice.
And then the Rune of Wrath, which is just another attack. So this dude's rocking 2d3 +2 attacks, something like that.
Yeah, he was pretty nasty once he made it into combat, which he should have done a turn earlier, but Taylor forgot his rules again.
Yeah, I don't know how rules work.
It was like after that was like start of my next turn, and he was like, oh, man, that guy should have made it. He's got an extra d3 inches on his charge. And
I missed the charge by 1.
Yeah, it was like, oh, he would have made it. No problem.
Ugh.
But it was kind of funny. After we set up, we took a picture for people in Discord to see and yell at us for doing things wrong. And we ended up deploying on only like 2/3, like barely over half the table.
Yeah.
Because I plopped the Hearthstone down in a, like, hoping to, like, basically block charge lanes, thinking I'm way more mobile with Beastmen and, you know, one unit of skirmishers here. And I had those 11 gore just to go up and hold the Hearthstone for me to get all those cool rules for it. And then Taylor just put, he was like, you're going to be around that Hearthstone, so I'm going to be around that Hearthstone, and just went completely refused flank. His entire army is in on the right half of the table.
It's only three units, so it's not really much, but yeah, so I'm rocking both of the great, the two-handed weapon units, seven wide, you know, just to get as many attacks as I can. And they take up a lot of space.
Yeah.
They really do. And then we got the, I completely misdeployed the carts, and I put the shield bearer lord like on his own. I was like, he's way more mobile and way more able to live on his own. Thanks, Brooks, for showing me to do that in the games that we played, you know.
Movement four as a skirmisher when he's next to that cart, even on those shield bearers, is not shabby. And he's so tough and hits hard that him being on his own actually worked out well.
Until the last turn, yeah, it worked out really, really well.
Really, right? And you knew that I didn't have any shooting, so there was no risk in him being on his own. Like, maybe some magic risk, but you got the Anvil of Doom, so you're good at dispelling as well.
If I remember how to do it, yeah.
He would have been even better at dispelling.
Oh, by the way, he also has hatred enemy characters that I forgot about.
Oh, come on, man!
Yep.
Good thing I didn't accept that challenge with him.
He also has Rallying Cry, which I forgot about. And he's also stubborn, which I forgot about. Because he would have just fallen back in good order.
You just didn't. Oh, that's okay. He did fall back in good order.
No, he ran. He fled.
Oh, that's right, because you had to rally him at the end. Okay, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. I got the first turn. Even though he finished deploying first, I think I rolled like a five or six and took the first turn because I was like, I want to start maneuvering around a bit, which I made some goofy decisions in the first turn, you know, realizing later, like, oh, that was not the best move. Just didn't really set up charges for myself. I had my Shaggoth and one of the chariots on my far left flank and ended up charging the Shaggoth. You know, next round, I got the Shaggoth charging into the warriors with great Romrel great axes.
Yep.
And for some reason, I had split the chariot off from him, and they should have gone together.
Yeah.
I think looking at the picture here, I think my thought was that I thought your hammers were going to move up, so the chariot was ready to get a flank charge on them, which I'm sure is one reason why the hammers didn't move up as far.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's exactly it.
But, you know, turn one was pretty typical turn one Warhammer, a bunch of marching, positioning, all that good stuff. Yeah. I moved up to take my own Hearthstone to make sure I controlled it and got bonuses to my casting and whatnot, which didn't really do anything the first turn. I read the spell entries, and I had talked about this with Brooks with Taylor, like last week, and took Flock of Doom and then completely spaced and thought it was a magic missile vortex. It wasn't until like three rounds in, I had cast it a couple times to no effect, that I was like, oh wait, this is an assailment. Whoops. That's not how this works.
Man, we are so good at this game.
So good at this game.
Hey, don't forget to hit a 5-star review for this podcast.
But yeah, so it was just kind of moving up, kind of preparing some things. Yeah. Nothing really happened round one for me.
Yeah.
And on your side, it was really, really similar because you didn't have any shooting.
No, I struck those runes. I struck zero runes.
Yeah, I don't think we had any spells go off the first round. And then round two, things started to get spicy. Taylor gave me a couple charges where my Shaggoth charged into those clan warriors. The Centaur showed up right away. I just rolled a hard four immediately and didn't even need the reroll or plus one. And I was like, cool. So they popped up 9 Centaur and a Centaur character were like, hey, we're just a couple inches away from your Doom. Nope. I almost said Anvil. Doomstone. your anvil of doom. There's doom in there somewhere. And it was kind of like, all right, you get one more turn with it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
My pig,
I decided. Oh yeah, go ahead. Your pig charged into the flank of my
hit your cart.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the cart, which is no longer in this picture.
And then my chariot by the Shaggoth repositioned to go support the Shaggoth now, which I was, because your hammers didn't move up. I was like, oh, okay. and then all my infantry in the middle of the table just kind of stood still. It was like, I'm not charging you. You can come to me for right now. You've got a Doomseeker in the way, and your character was like, this is scary. And then the pig overran after destroying the cart. Into the dwarf warriors with that stupid banner. So he just like didn't do anything on your turn and got hacked to pieces because your king charged him.
Yeah, it turns out he's a skirmisher. It has 360 line of sight. And I was just like, I'm gonna turn around and charge that thing.
Yeah, it was pretty great. One was the fight against the they're still not long beards. The clan warriors with the Gromril great axes.
Yeah.
Shaggoth lost the first round and just gave ground. And then you followed up because you're like, well, I'm not going to let you charge me.
Yeah, I charged. I actually held back and then I charged you because it gave me some extra initiative. And this is where, so at the beginning of the turn, I was like, listen, I got to kill the Shaggoth. Like I brought it down to like two or three wounds remaining.
Yeah.
I was like, this thing's got to get off the board. It might have been like three wounds remaining.
I think it says two. I can't tell.
No, hang on. And then I flipped my hammers around because I was like, well, this Anvil of Doom is going to die. I got to help him out, which was the mistake of the game. That was probably my biggest glaring mistake. I should have just completely committed and ran those guys up the board.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Unfortunately, turns out, yeah, them reforming and just 180 looking at the back lines did not end up helping.
No, at all. My carts were in, one cart was gone, the other one was in the complete wrong spot. This wood that was on my side of the board was just not helping.
No. Yeah, so we only rolled five pieces of terrain and it had a big impact.
Yeah, for sure. It turns out terrain's a character.
Well, especially when I throw down a sixth.
Yeah, you're just like, this goes here. Okay. so those clan warriors, they go in there and they're ready. They're going to eat some face. And I start rolling dice. I was like, there's no way. I just got this thing down like 60% of its wounds. There's no way I'm not going to kill it. And it was alive on one wound remaining.
And I was like, wrecked face back between its attacks and stomps. Yeah, and then
I was like, uh-oh.
I just thought it was so funny that I charged you, lost combat. You charged me, you lost combat. Yeah. But it wasn't ever enough to really break. You just fell back in good order, I think, and the Shaggoth followed up there.
But I got a spell off.
Oh, my yeah. The little token
three up armor save warriors could reroll their armor saves.
Gross.
Which is stupid because they have a three up armor rerolling one. So now I can just reroll twos.
It's still worth it, I think.
Yeah. And then the Doomseeker missed his charge by one, which he shouldn't have.
Yep. And he had to go forward 4 inches. Which yep. is really funny to me. So it was like, he was like right there and I was like, oh
yeah, come
he's
get
a
me.
Juicy target now to just get rid of. And at this point it was looking really good for the Beastmen because you're literally completely surrounded. You know, yeah. your units are facing all every which way. You've taken some pretty good casualties already. And all I'd lost was the pig. And it was like, okay, we got this. So then my turn three, the Centaur charge in naturally into the anvil.
Yep.
What else? I don't think I made any other charges. Oh, I had my chariot charge into your dwarf, your clan warriors with that banner. And then after we did the whole thing and realized, oh, wait, we don't actually get impact hits or charge bonuses of any kind. So Taylor was nice enough to let me, he was like, you can just not do that. And I was like, no, I did the charge. I did everything. I'm okay with saying I charged the king instead.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, there's no way I would charge this unit with a chariot knowing
that
I don't get
literally can't do anything.
Like the whole point of a chariot is impact hits. And I rolled the max. I rolled 7 impact hits.
Yeah. And I was like, keep the seven impact hits. Like, all of that still happened, you know,
because I still needed sixes to wound the king with the impact hits anyway. So he let me redo that. Did nothing to the king. Didn't do a single wound. And then he smashed it back. And I was like, all right, that's fine. I deserve that. Meanwhile, the Centaur destroy the
anvil.
The anvil. I don't think they did the... No, they didn't the first turn. They got him down to one wound, I think.
Yep.
Because, of course, you challenged out the Warhoof, so I lost a bunch of attacks, and I didn't quite kill him. But you didn't kill the Warhoof either. You didn't do much bad.
He had one or two wounds left, yeah.
I think
they only have five attacks, so...
Yeah, so I got lucky. Well, I mean, the Warhoof was pretty awesome with a... He was only toughness four, which drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Or even Bray Shamans are toughness five, but he's toughness four, but he had a three up, five up, which was really nice for Beastman to have a sweet save.
Yeah,
But then the Shaggoth finally got killed by the warriors with their great special great weapons, and then they were able to about face... and then things started to go badly for me.
Yeah, so at the start of my next turn, those hammerers are like, oh, we didn't need to turn around. Let's turn around again. Because I'm dumb.
Because then so you had a bunch of great weapon warriors right there. Like, they were a couple inches away from my Centaur, and it was like, and the cart. And it was like, uh-oh.
So those great weapon warriors and cart both charge into the Centaurs. My Doomseeker finally makes it into the Besticores. And just... minces people.
Yeah, it looks, according to this picture, he kills seven
of them. Yeah, dude,
seven.
Could you imagine if him and the king got in there? Oh my gosh.
Oh, it was real bad. Brutal.
Friggin' love that guy.
And my I had forgotten Gaze of the Gods until turn three, so of course immediately I wrote stupidity on my Beast Lord, and I was like, I deserve that. I get for forgetting twice.
It's so fitting.
He passed it every time. It was okay.
Yeah, so the anvil goes down on my turn, and the warriors and the cart are able to run the Centaurs off literally by a corner of their base.
Oh, it drives me crazy, because look, you only killed four Centaurs.
Yeah.
Looking at the picture, the challenge we were in continued, so the Warhoof finished off the anvil, which was nice. But yeah, then they fled from combat, and it's like half an inch of the base is over the edge. I took like an aerial view picture of it to share in the description. Like, look at this. They're just so barely off. And it was like 300 points of stuff gone. Oof. You know, character and nine cavalry models isn't super cheap, but they almost got their points back.
Yeah.
And just the fact that they essentially took the hammers out of the game, 100% worth it for them to show up and do what they did and run away.
Agreed. Cause imagine like, so I've at this point I've walked the, Sword and Board Warriors and the King kind of up more just so that like they're more in the fray. Now imagine those hammers up there as well with them. You know what I mean? It would have been brutal.
It would have been totally different. Yeah.
Yep.
So I got lucky there.
At this point, I'm still kind of feeling like I'm feeling better, right? With those Centaur gone, the Shaggoth is gone. I'm a little displaced, but I feel better, but I'm still not in a great position.
And half my Bestigor are dead too. That was
from one mini.
And it was funny because they kill the Doomseeker back, obviously.
Yeah.
He's only got two wounds. And then my Bestigor, I think they actually restrained overrun. Because it was like, I'm either gonna overrun into the king, and that's not great, or I can force you to try to charge me, and then I get an extra rank of attacks potentially.
Yep.
So it was still looking pretty good. You were really out of position on your right flank.
It was my plan all along. I didn't have a plan at all.
Right. my turn four didn't go great. But I did get the Beneath the Shaden Woadspan spell off to put a big old 5-inch template that blocks line of sight and everything down in the middle of the board. So his hammers couldn't charge anything. Because anything they did have line of sight to, all of a sudden they lost it, which was awesome. And without the anvil, he really could not dispel anything.
No.
Like you it was there
for
faded.
The rest of the game.
Yeah. I had a chariot rounding around the forest there that should have been with the Shaggoth from the beginning, but wasn't. and then I charged the king alone with my Primal War Herd. I was like, all right, we got a bunch of poison attacks. Poison can hurt toughness 10. with this. So we charged in and just unloaded a bucket load of attacks into this dude and did nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was like,
I love this mini so much. I got
like no poison and
I got, yeah, you got poison no
off maybe. Cause I remember it was like, okay, so I have to wound them on sixes, but the ones that got poison wound them on a four. That's not awful. It's obviously not nearly as good as auto wounding, but the unit had no AP or anything. So he just shrugged it all off, was totally fine, killed a bunch back. They ran away and then he overran into the best of gores. And I was like, I'm in danger. My Beast Lord did roll an extra attack that turn. That was great. Yes.
So,
and then your fourth turn.
I don't really have a lot of options. I think you charged into the hand weapon shield guys because I have their banner for some reason.
I think they didn't. Okay. So, I think I just gave, or you gave ground with the king. I think they actually won combat because static combat res. And then
yes.
I think I failed my restraint and overran, followed up into the warriors. Yes,
because then I got my second rank of attacks.
Yeah. And then on your turn, you just kind of wrecked them and I didn't do anything back. That's when I fled. And then you pursued them. The king hit the Bestigors and the warriors just kind of stayed there, but they chased me. So they got the banner.
Yep.
Which I love that you can do that, but I don't lose the model, which is
is really nice. Yep.
My Primal Warherd fled through the Bestigor, but luckily they stayed. And then they had a Dwarf King in their midst. I see the token now. I think it was this round of combat, they actually did better when I had to divvy up my attacks between the King and the Warriors. And somehow I had fewer attacks on the King, but then I did three wounds to him.
Well, you did as many attacks as you could into the Warriors.
As many attacks as I had to into the Warriors.
Into the King, you did as many as you could. And you got him down half.
And I was like, wow, I might kill this guy eventually.
Yeah,
this
is overrunning great. Into the Bestigors, I was like, but there was nowhere for my Warriors to go, which really sucked, right? So I kind of just stood there. You know, I didn't really have any other option. I just kind of repositioned a little bit because you had skirmishers on the other side of the Hearthstone that they couldn't really get to. And the king had left zero openings for the warriors to get in.
Warriors just didn't roll high enough to get to the Bestigor was the problem when they chased the Primal Warherd.
And it just put them in a horrible position, right?
Yeah, they're just not in a good spot. I think at this point, the king and the Bestigor got into a challenge because I didn't want to lose a bunch more Bestigor. And I was like, yeah, because I was excited because it was like, all right, my Bestigor or my Beast Lord has the Scimitar of Skulltar, AP 1, multiple wounds 2. And Taylor was like, uh-oh, you only have to get two wounds through to kill this guy now?
You just got to roll 2 sixes.
And then I rolled no hits. Right, there was one round where I rolled like a bunch of twos and threes.
Yeah,
no ones to reroll the Primal Fury. I was so upset. It was like, are you kidding me? No hits at all. But then you didn't really do anything back either.
Right.
But things were looking bad for the Beastmen.
Yeah, the start of your round five, at the end of round five, there's a whole big old unit of Clan Warriors that are missing. The Great Weapon guys got minced by some chariots.
Yeah, the chariot charged in and did some damage and stole your banner. I think they broke and I ran them down because I have your banner there.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sweet. Meanwhile, your hammers are still just moving through the woods.
Doing nothing, man. They're
trading Woadspan.
Trying to get around this dumb spell, which I can't get rid of. At the end of the round, you break the king because I forgot he's stubborn.
Yeah, you got my Beast Lord down to one wound left.
Yep.
But with the static combat res, I was able to win enough that, you forgot Stubborn, unfortunately. And he actually broke, but I didn't catch him because I ran into those stinking dwarves that were right in the middle. I did a whole bunch of repositioning with my Bray Shaman every turn. He was basically hopping from one side of the Hearthstone to the other to shoot off some spells and then get out of charge arcs.
Yeah, and it worked.
But then it was like, okay, we have turn six left. So I know I can be next to your king because he's not going to be able to charge me anyway.
Yep.
And I remember I was thinking, okay, turn six, if I got my chariot here lined up in a rear charge into your cart, and I was like, if I could, I can almost certainly kill that thing.
Yeah.
Overrun into the back of the warriors. I think we, again, both forgot about that standard because it was like, oh, I won't get impact hits anyway. But a good chance of having plus two combat res is kind of huge. And then the Primal War Herd had rallied, and they were just kind of waiting to get back in the fray. I hadn't lost any more Bestigor. I had just, I remember having just enough to get Close Order, which was a huge difference in the King fight. But then we had Bestigor with the Beast Lord against those Warrior Clan Dwarves, and it was like, oh, this could be nasty.
So I don't remember if they broke or if they fell back in good order. They fell back in good order because I see them turned around.
Yep.
Guess what, Dan? They have shield wall. They should have given ground.
Oh, my God. this would have been a way different game if you'd remembered all your rules. But, yeah.
Yep.
you know, I always say that when we're at, like, MCP events, that the people that do the best are the ones that remember all of their rules.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, so the hammers, it's a huge difference.
So there was a lot that just didn't matter at this point, so I didn't really do much with the hammers because there was no reason to. I turned the king around. There was no reason to. He rallied just because. And the warriors couldn't really do anything because they fled through the Woadspan and the hammerers, right? Because of fallback in good order. So there really wasn't a lot of reason for me to do anything at this point because Dan took the Herdstone from here. What's up?
Yeah. Also, a bunch of the unit of warriors had to flee through the chariot that didn't quite get into their rear.
Yeah.
It did destroy that cart, but I didn't roll quite enough on the overrun.
It was an inch.
There,
yeah.
But they did flee through it, and you lost a couple, I think.
Yeah, sure did.
I think at this point, I had rolled another weapon skill and attack on the Beast Lord, so he was rocking two extra attacks and weapon skill, I think, 7, just to make him even with the king, which board, was nice. Yeah. I had a Herdstone with the Bestigor, and because they had a nice big block next, right, basically touching it with 10 guys there.
Yep.
My one unit of gore didn't do anything the whole game except move up and stand near the herdstone, but I think it's worth it.
No, that was good. So it took the end of the game to 786 to 976, which is technically a draw.
With the new calculations, it was still a draw. And it was all because of that herdstone that I was.
Yes.
So it was 976 Beastmen, 786 Dwarves. And it would have been almost exactly the same if it weren't for the Herdstone and me getting 200 points for holding that at the end. That was
huge. Absolutely. Yep. You killed around 700 ish. Yep.
I mean, not killing the king and not even getting him to 25% because he was still at half. Yep. I didn't do any more damage to him after those first three wounds, but, you know, pushing him away did enough. But I forgot what I was going to say there. Oh, those hammers, you know, just not giving up points was massive.
Yeah, in a way. They're almost 500 points, right? So just sitting there, it was accidental tactics to not get them in combat. Now they're 413 points. So accidental tactics of not getting them dead, you know, worked out real well for me.
But at the same time, they didn't get their points back. So
correct.
Like they didn't kill anything. So it's kind of like, well, they also didn't give up points. So it's kind of like, I don't know. Was it good or not? I think the Centaurs did their job. I would have liked to see them perform a little better. Like if they had killed the Anvil of Doom the first round.
Probably
would have charged into hammers facing them.
Yeah.
And they would have died anyway, but maybe they would have taken some hammers down.
That's also a big ask when your opponent remembers that you have a 5 of ward save as well.
Lord. But a couple other big changes that we saw really impact the game were the new changes to magic.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Which I think is a huge improvement. I had a level 4. He was only getting plus 2 to cast. And then he was getting a further plus 1 when I had control of the Herdstone. So it wasn't that much different.
Yep.
But I mean, it was plus 3 instead of plus 5. So
right.
That was kind of huge.
The Herdstone again coming in clutch because anvils are now one of the best dispellers in the game with a plus 3 baked in.
Yeah, that's right? Huge.
So imagine me just one-upping you on every single roll, you know?
Yeah. So now, if people aren't aware, the new rules for that is a wizard adds their level of wizardry divided by two, rounding up. So level one and level two both add one to their casting rolls. Level threes and level fours add two to their casting rolls. Huge difference there.
I think it's a fantastic change.
I think it's completely fine based on one game so far, but still, I think they did reduce the casting value of a handful of spells as well. I would like to see more of that because you pay a lot for a wizard, and now they're just not doing what you paid points for them to do more of the time.
Sure.
Right? Because you're not hitting those casting values as often. So I think it's going to be healthy for the game overall because you're not going to see just level four dominance all over the place. Like, take a level three, saving that like 60 or 30 points might, you know, some people are going to really be thinking about that a lot more than they used to, because before it was like, well, yes, I'm taking a level four. You're not losing any dispel or range. You're not losing any casting strength, but you're having one less spell can be a really big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one of the things with my Slaanesh list is, do I keep my Keeper of Secrets as a level four? And I think the answer is yes, because really all I'm looking for is Doppelganger. And having that extra roll to get that spell is super important to me, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's interesting. That's an interesting change, and I think it's going to be good for the game overall.
I think so. I'm definitely going to play around with taking more level threes to save some point, especially like high elves, a third level archmage instead of fourth level. But then the silvery wand still has me at four spells.
Yeah.
And I'm not like, yeah, I have four instead of five, but still four is good.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm only losing the only thing I'm losing is a spell still. But I think that could absolutely be worth it because I was already taking the silvery wand anyway. So again, saving 30, 35 points, whatever it is, I can't remember exactly. You know, that's a couple more dudes somewhere.
So another thing that's very interesting in the FAQ is dispelling the remains of play spells. They changed it so you only have to be in range of a magical vortex, not the actual wizard that casted the vortex. So it's normal if you're dispelling remains in play, you have to be within range of the wizard that casted the spell. Unless it's a magical vortex, then you can be in range of the vortex itself, which makes sense. You're dispelling that magical entity.
Yeah, right? And a lot of people have been screaming for that one for a while because it didn't make sense that...
For sure.
Like you said, the magical entity is right there. Why can't I dispel the magic that's doing that, but the spellcaster is way over there. Now I'm not in range, blah, blah, blah. This just makes sense to me.
And we're at 53 minutes, so I want to talk about just a couple of things that are huge changes that really need to be touched on that people are upset about, and kind of sort of rightfully so, right? Frenzy?
Real change. Quick.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Since we're talking about magic, one big change to magic is the pillar of fire scatters now. You don't choose the direction, which is, and they reduce it to strength three.
Yeah, that's huge.
Huge, because that was the best spell in the game for damage, and they just toned it down to really be in line with the rest of the spells.
Yep.
One other thing about magic, and then I want to jump to frenzy, because I don't know why they did that. or dispelling. Trying to find this. In the FAQ, there's a change that says wizards that are engaged in combat can only be nominated to dispel spells that target them or their unit. Is that a change? Or am I just misremembering? If you're in combat, you just can't.
I'm pretty sure dispel. When you're in combat, you just couldn't dispel. I can't remember if it also... What was the page number?
I lost it here. Oh, it tells me. Page 110. Oh, I didn't... 110. I forgot that has that.
Yeah, that's usually really tells you.
I'm looking at that page. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Wizards that are engaged in combat that are fleeing or that are not on the battlefield cannot be nominated to dispel. So that's a big change.
Yeah.
If you cast a spell at a wizard or a unit that a wizard is in while they're in combat, he can now dispel it. That's kind of huge.
Yep. Yeah. Makes assailment spells not just auto givens, right?
Yeah.
If you're obviously fighting the only wizard. But again, it makes sense. If you have a wizard fighting a wizard in hand-to-hand combat, they're probably casting spells at each other. They're going to be focused on dispelling, right?
Yep, I like that. And or like hexes that can be cast into combat. Now that wizard can try to dispel it.
Yep.
I like that change a lot. I never understood why they just couldn't dispel at all when they were in combat. I thought that was too much.
And there's a ton of other changes. I mean, there's a ton of changes. And we don't want to go over all of them. You guys can read. Hopefully, you guys can read. There is some questions in here that we would get the Dan Cole teacher voice where he's like, no, of course not. You know,
yeah, some of them. They're not
so stupid.
Not as many as before, but
no. But like, do I have to deploy my entire unit entirely within my deployment zone? Like, yes, of course you do. You friggin' idiot. Sorry. what a stupid question.
What about these couple that were not as happy? I'm thrilled with this FAQ, except for these last couple things.
We've gone over poison. Poison was a silly change, and it was. Fine, I get it. Like, poison can be huge. You just roll a six, you get a wound. That seems like a lot. But getting it to just +2 to wound is like, eh.
It's still good, but it's not.
It's still good.
It's not nearly as good as aura wounding, obviously. Like, the whole point of poison being great is that it got rid of a die roll. It was automatic, right? I don't think it was necessary at all. I think the problem is like the huge units of night goblins with the banner that gives them poison attacks. So it's, so just a rat of the banner to cost a ton of more points. Like the banner just doesn't cost them enough.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because again, poison in a unit you're typically getting between 10 and, you know, 5 and 10 attacks is not a big deal. Yeah, when you're shooting 90 arrows at a large target, yeah, that's a problem. But that was like.
Guess what else is the problem? The large target.
Right? Which they changed. Now we only get to fire 2 ranks at it, not the entire unit.
Oh, good. So they ruined both things to get rid of monsters. Nice.
But the one that I'm really I don't want to say upset. I just don't understand why they did this. So Frenzy is like, why is this a thing now?
Yeah. Yep.
Because it's Furious Charge. Except you don't, you still have to charge things, right? But during a turn in which it made a charge move or during the turn after it made a follow-up move, not, what's it called? When you go follow someone that gives ground, isn't that different?
Yeah, that's follow-up.
Is it? Mm-hmm. I guess it's the same thing as if they fall back in good order, it's still a follow-up. But Frenzied Model has a +1 modifier to its attack characteristic. However, Frenzy Model does not confer this. A rider does not confer it to a mount and vice versa. That's
blah, blah, blah.
But you don't get frenzy unless you charge or followed up. So if you get charged or it's a continuing combat, you don't get the additional attack.
That's so stupid.
But why? So it's just the same as Furious Charge where you get a +1 attack on the charge, except you also have that. Oh, if you can charge, you have to try to.
Yep.
Nonsense.
It's detrimental now to have.
And I mean, it always has been, but at least it had the caveat of you also get an extra attack, but you don't always get the extra attack now.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't understand this change. Frenzy. I don't think anybody had a problem with Frenzy because it had a big drawback. You could bait out Frenzy units against chaff and stuff. The extra attacks are awesome, but there was a huge downside. And now it's like, I used to love Frenzy. Frenzy and Poison were like my two favorite special rules. And now Poison is not nearly as good and Frenzy's not nearly as good. Because like, especially with like the Blood Herd coming out.
Oh my gosh,
Beastmen, yeah. It's like now I want Minotaurs with Frenzy all over the place, but now it's not nearly as good.
Right. But I mean, you're still like their movement, what, 5 or 6 Minotaurs?
I think 6, yeah.
Yeah. So you're still going to get your charges off. You're still going to break people. You're still going to follow up.
But you know, you're not still going to get it during attack. Subsequent rounds of combat. That sucks.
But it doesn't. That part doesn't make sense to me. Like, they're still angry. They're still crazy. They're still fighting hard. Why? If somebody could go in the Discord and tell me the specific example and why Frenzy was an issue and needed to be FAQ'd, I'd really love to know it. Because we just don't play enough to know.
I've never heard of any, like, meta-busting thing that was based on Frenzy having extra attacks. Like, maybe it's partly because of the Blood Herd and having so much of the, I think it's Blood Greed rule, where they get +2 attacks for Frenzy instead of 1. Sure. But like, I don't know, Minotaurs are on 50 millimeter bases. You're not going to get that many into base contact to get their full complement. Like, you're not going to go 10 wide with Minotaurs and all get their full complement of attacks anyway. You know,
like, I don't know. Lionhammer Minotaur sounds dope now that I'm thinking about it.
Right. But they're so, the bases are so big that, yeah, you'll have plenty of guys within their movement, but they're only getting one attack anyway.
Yeah. Right. So it doesn't matter.
I don't understand why they changed this. Frenzy's never been a problem. I don't know who thought it was that need to get hit this hard with a Nerf bat.
Ian's very upset about this.
I don't understand it. That's what makes me upset.
And you have reason to be upset with it. It's one of... It has always been one of your favorite rules in the entire game.
Yeah.
Like, you played Savage Orcs because they were frenzied. Played Minotaurs because they're frenzied. Like, frenzy's kind of your jam. You always played Khorne. Like, you like extra attacks. I like rolling dice. But, you played Orcs once, didn't you, in 40K?
For a little while. Yeah, for a minute.
Buckets of dice, man. Absolute buckets.
Like, especially with Beastmen specifically. Primal Fury, you roll for it. Every round of combat, whether you charge, got charge, subsequent rounds, whatever. If you roll doubles and pass, you get frenzied. If I get charged and roll doubles and get frenzied, who cares? It doesn't do anything. Why?
Great. Now you're frenzied?
It's like, okay, I still get the reroll ones because I pass Primal Fury, but like it only works if I already charged that turn or followed up. I don't understand why.
Now, does frenzy make you immune to psychology?
Sort of. It doesn't give you... I think you're just immune to fear, terror, and panic.
Yeah.
I think.
Huh.
Another big one, a couple big ones that aren't necessarily bad, but make a lot of sense and that people have been wanting for a while. Impact hits happen, always hit the unit, and they're assigned before challenges now.
Yeah.
They don't all go into the character.
Makes so much sense,
which is really nice for those times where like you charge with like a character on a chariot and then the champion challenges them out and you only get the overkill max. Now you can actually kill other guys in the unit with the chariot impact hits or whatever monster impact hits, whatever, and then kill that stupid champion.
And thematically, that makes sense as well. Chariot plows over dudes and then the challenges start. Right.
Right. It never made sense that one guy could just step up and be like, I'm taking all of these hits.
I'm just going to stand in front of this chariot. Another great change that makes sense because it should have been from the start is when you roll stupid, you can't move.
Oh, yeah. So that clarifies things. People were like, well, if you move, can you accidentally charge with this? Blah, blah, blah. No, you just don't move at all. That's what it used to be. I'm fine with that. Another big one, Impetuous, instead of just a 4-up, now it's you make a leadership test, and if you fail, you must declare a charge.
It's such a good change.
It's such a good, necessary change, because Impetuous, I mean, it's always been just a drawback.
Yeah.
But now it's not as debilitating. Like, people might actually feel pistoliers again.
Well, it makes sense. Like, why would you just 50-50 charge something? You would restrain yourself using your leadership. Be like, yeah, we can't charge right now, guys. Hold it together. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just thematically, again, it makes sense.
Right. A unit of high elf dragon princes are more restrained, have less of a chance of being impetuous versus those pistoliers with leadership 7, you know?
Nope. Same amount of restraint as orcs.
Not anymore. Not anymore. I mean, that might be a little bit more of a pain for Orc and Goblin players because you have so much impetuousness that you have to roll so many leadership tests.
It's 50-50 anyways. It's either a 4-up or a leadership 7 test.
Well, I don't know. You got almost every infantry unit of Orcs and Goblins.
That's true.
Increasing their leadership. You know, you've got your war bosses and stuff nearby giving them leadership 8 or 9. Like, they're going to be impetuous way less of the time.
Yeah.
Instead of 50, that makes 50 sense. They're going to be rolling on, you know, 9s and 10s.
And I think they changed the Ruby Ring as well.
Power level 1 now.
Yeah. So that's Which kind of a huge change. What's that?
Necessary.
Yeah. I was going to say that's kind of a big deal for everybody because everyone used it.
Yeah. And it goes from power level 2 to power level 1, but you're still trying to roll an 8, I believe. Yeah. So now you got to roll a 7 instead of a 6. Is it the biggest change in the world? No, but it's not as easy.
Correct. And I think, you know, that's way better than just... I'm glad they didn't like change the point value or anything like that. They were just like, we're going to make this a little more difficult to do. Right.
But anyways. Oh, I saying the wrong rule there about Horde. I was thinking Warband that adds your rank bonus to leadership, but specifically they added in that Warband cannot be used to make a restraint test or impetuous.
Heck yeah.
I'm testing to see if it must declare a charge or may act as normal. So orcs and goblins aren't going to get a huge boost
again
to the leadership for that.
If there's a ton of orcs and goblins, they still want to get in combat.
Right. If anything, that should lower their leadership for that.
That's fair, actually. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Overall, unbelievably happy with the how the things are working.
Yes. Yes. Yep. I'm loving pretty much all of these changes. I know there are a couple things like in army specific ones that are like that are really good. Empire got a couple boosts. Their commanders needed. Got an extra leadership each. State troops and veteran state troops got Horde, which was necessary.
Yep.
And great swords became strength four, which
it
is
makes
nice.
So much sense.
Sorry. I don't know why they weren't I just assumed they still were, but I didn't. I never fielded them yet. So
have you seen the size of the blades on those models? Like you've owned them before, right?
They're 6 feet long.
Could you imagine picking that up?
Yeah, those guys need to be strong as hell.
Could you imagine how much that weighs, dude?
Yeah,
a lot. And to be able to just wield that, you got to be so strong, man.
I got something to make Taylor mad. Uh-oh. Did you know that White Lions now have Furious Charge?
Guys, this has been a great episode. thanks for... If anyone wants to buy a Dwarf Army...
I had to end with something like that. And Furious Charge!
Makes me so happy for you, Dan.
Did you know that Phoenix Guard can now attack in 3 ranks?
With halberds?
Because their ceremonial halberds have a supporting attack. They're spears.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're halberds and spears. He's so mad.
I'm so mad. That's so stupid. Nah. That's good because Phoenix Guard were real bad. There was no reason to take them.
I mean, Phoenix Guard got a huge bump up. White Lions got a huge bump up. Swordmasters are the redheaded stepchild of the elite high elf infantry, unfortunately.
I'm fine with that because they used to scare me to the point where I would have nightmares. because you would put them in lance formation and eat my entire booty. and an interesting change that came up or would have come up, but I didn't. I'm glad I read this FAQ, is if you give armor runes to an Anvil of Doom, only the crew benefit. So no more shooting your Anvil of Doom with toughness 10. But hey, maybe if I actually gave it some armor runes. But I was like, nah, it doesn't need any. You're not going to. Oh, that's a lot of Centaurs behind me.
Hi.
But no, there's a lot of great changes. Folks, these are free online. Go read them. Like it's super necessary. There's so many good things that are. Wait a second. Can Corhill Lion Mane or a Chasian Chieftain join a unit of light?
Yeah, that one was legitimately necessary because the rule they had was it had to be a character with the honor for White Lions, which neither the Tracen Champion or Corhill can technically take.
Why?
And don't have, they should just have that in their rule, but they
just
don't.
Errata it to give,
whatever. Yes. Yeah, they should just have that special rule, but they don't, so.
Ugh. Whatever.
So that one seems nitpicky, but it's actually necessary.
So then, no, that's their fault. They need to fix their own stuff.
Absolutely.
They need to fix their things. But yeah, these are fantastic. I'm super happy about it. You know what else I'm super happy about, Dan?
What?
Hang on, let me get to the right page before I say that. I'm super happy about you doing startplaying.games.
Oh, thanks.
And GMing stuff. From what I've seen, people are super into it. They're having an absolute blast already.
We had a game this morning.
Today? Right?
What's that?
Your second game today?
Today was the third of our Ubersreich Adventures campaign, and they got to fight a vampire.
Dope.
It was awesome.
That's so cool.
Leroy's character I had it disengaged so it would like scuttle up the wall, and then it was on the ceiling looking down at him going, rah! And then Leroy's character threw a knife at it and hit it and broke its arm, and then it fell off the ceiling onto another character, and then they just like dogpiled it. It cut its head off. It was
so great. Awesome.
It was so good. I was like, oh, these guys are in trouble. And then I thought disengaging would help me to not be like super outnumbered. And he's like, I'm just going to throw my knife about it and choose my die roll with this point. And I was like, oh, that was a great move.
That's so dope.
It was so great. I just posted a new game today that got approved for depending on when you're listening to this right now. My first, it's a one shot. It's called Vincenzo's Six, the villa heist, where the party is a group of Tillian like ne'er-do-wells that have joined together to go stage a caper on this like Tillian noble's villa. And it's just kind of like, you got to get in, get the stuff, get out. I made some pre-gens for it. So it's like, here, you can choose one of these characters. And they all have like their own little motivations going into this as well that might get in the way of things.
Are you
really
serious?
Excited for it? Yeah.
I legit almost made a board game once about this scenario.
Ah,
right. Like you have this huge bit. So like legit the board game, like the board was going to be the box. So you open the box up and it's like a villa or like a mansion. Cool. Right. And then each person is trying to like steal stuff from all the different rooms, but there's guards, but you, you got information, like depending on what character you play, you get like a little information packet.
Oh, it's great.
Right. But there's a chance that information's bad. Right. So you like go into this room that it says, go in this room to get this thing. Like, don't worry about the dog. Like it sleeps in the other room, but the dog's actually in there or whatever, you know, whatever happens.
I like that a lot.
Right.
That's similar to the idea of this one shot where it's like, okay, you have this group goal, but like this person also has this little side goal they're not telling anybody about. This person has this side goal that they're not telling anybody about. So I'm really pumped. The first game for it is going to be Friday, July 11th at like 8:30.
I'll be 35 then.
Oh, congratulations. And then it's a one shot, so I'll be running it multiple times to see, you know, people can't make it one time. Hopefully they can another time. But yeah, check out startplaying.games and then search up Bad GM Dan. You can see my GM page and see all the things that I'm running there. I got a bunch of things going.
And if you join our Discord, there's a $10 off coupon.
Yeah. I put a link in there. There's something they just started like yesterday or so. The Start Playing did that. It's a referral link that if you click on it, if you click on my referral link to go through your first game, gets you get a $10 credit.
So I'm obviously saying this because Dan is a friend of mine, but I'm going to take that hat off. I'm going to take the PCN hat off. Dan's probably one of the best GMs that I've ever had.
Aww.
He's really good. So folks, if you're into role-playing games, Dan's a great GM. Don't let anyone else tell you otherwise, but he will give you the repercussions to your actions.
Oh, there's consequences.
There are consequences. So don't be an idiot. Unless it's part of the fun, because that was always part of my fun.
Oh my God. So real quick today, talking about like ridiculous things that sound kind of fun. So the party finds this medical journal that like a diary that they need to try to figure out what's happening in the area they're in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's written in Tillian, right? Okay. Which is, you know, Warhammer Italy, if people aren't aware. Nobody speaks Tillian and only one person can read in the party. So he tries to read it like phonetically to the person in the party that knows Bretonian to see if maybe they could pick out some words and try to put it together. And I was like, you know what? If this was Gapapa, I'd say no. Obviously, this is not going to work. You don't know the language. But I was like, you know what? Let's try it. You make a hard, like, I forget what test I had him make because read write isn't a skill to test on. And it was like, you then make a hard, you know, language Bretonian test to see if you can figure this out. And of course, they failed them all, but they just really liked that they got to try. And it was like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've heard of. And it's awesome.
So for those of you that aren't as into the lore, that is an American or a German phonetically reading out Italian to someone who speaks French,
trying to figure out what the heck this book says. So of course they failed. But it was so like, good. I'm going to allow attempt here. If you could both roll like a 15 or less and you figure this out, sure. You'll probably, you know, skip around some things in the adventure, but it's worth it for how funny this is.
I wish that I knew a German, an Italian, and a French person to have this scenario play out. Hey, could you write something in Italian, give it to the German who can read it phonetically, German, to the French person?
But the French person isn't French. They just know.
They're German.
They're pretty good at French. Because it was X-Pax's character, Dan. Her language Bretonian skill was 35 out of 100. So normally she'd have a 35% chance, but I said it's a hard test, so she had a 15% chance to pass it anyway.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Very small number, but they thought it was fun to try.
Please sign up for Dan's games. He's a friggin' riot. This is the fun stuff that you get up to. Oh, it's so good. So professionalcasual.com for all of our other stuff. How do I follow up with the conversation we just had?
I don't know. It was kind of nonsense in the best way.
All of our socials are on there. We got podcasts, our blogs, our merch. Everything's on there. Dan's writing blogs all the time. There's an old World RPG I'm pretty sure Dan wrote a blog about or something. It's super dope.
I got a one shot scheduled for that for a couple different days of the week as well.
Yeah, startplaying.games. You can play Old World with Dan, but it's an RPG.
Boom.
But yeah, professionalcasual.com, twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, which guess what? Dr. D's streaming right now. oh yeah, the power phase, which is kind of taking a hiatus as we move studios and Dan moves house. And Dr. D's Disaster Zone, which is happening right now. He's painting, I think, some Blood and Thunder. He might be dressed up as a goth Catwoman.
Oh, right. We got to vote in his Discord today. Goth cat lady or James.
Or James, yeah, yep. Who which falls I forget for these nuts every time.
But he likes it.
Obviously, I went for James.
I love people who are like, guy. Why can't we have both? Why can't we have goth cat lady James?
Oh my gosh. We also have Ben Solo's missions, and Ben's just a friggin' riot. I love Ben so much. And Starfinder 2E sometimes, maybe-ish. And then
we haven't been able to play it in so long. Just life has gotten in the way. I don't know. Hopefully it's not dead.
We'll see what happens. We also have Fordo, which is a great charity, I guess, if you want to donate. I believe Fordo has a website where you can donate. Friends of Recovery, dedicated to others, which is helping the Delaware, Otsego, and Chenango. Yeah, counties with folks who are struggling and are trying to, you know, pick their life up again, more or less. If you want to help them out, that would be super great. And if you want to send, I don't know, like printed out feet pics to Tim's dad, you can send them to P.O. Box G, West Oneonta, New York, 13861. I didn't remember that number. I have it written down.
Oh, you've
only
learned.
67 episodes.
You've learned.
But folks, that's all we've got for today. Dan, anything you want to say to the peoples?
We're going to cover Cathay next.
Next time.
We wanted to go over our battle report here and do a bit of talk about these FAQs before we dive into the first new Warhammer Fantasy army in 20 years.
Dang.
So exciting.
Very exciting.
I almost bought the battalion box the other day, but I knew I would get in too much trouble because we're in the process of buying a house. So
yeah, Dan actually put it in his shirt.
I did like twice.
Yep. In front of the guy who runs the store, friggin' Anthony.
And he didn't find it funny. He didn't find it funny, but that's very par for the course for Anthony.
Yeah.
He just ignored me.
Yeah. That's, I mean, yeah.
As you do.
Yeah.
But I want to say I have not been listening to my own advice. That your dice ever roll sixes unless it's a leadership test, because I definitely boxcarded at least one leadership test in that game.
You sure did.
The other day.
I yelled at you for
about
it too.
A lot.
I was like, this is your own rule.
Oh, no, I forgot.
That's right. I forgot a lot. Anyways, folks, love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2E actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolforp actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.